You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is it too late in the process, though, to change that?
Nothing's too late, bro. Everything's made up in politics.
The Wire.
No, my hokey mai. Welcome back to The Wire on 95BFM. Once again, if you have any thoughts on any of these pieces, give us a text on 5395 or a call in the studio on 309-3879. The free school lunch program has been in the headlines here in Aotearoa for several weeks after facing significant impacts to their quality and delivery following a complete restructure of the program led by Associate Education Minister David Seymour. Many schools have reported late deliveries of meals beyond the lunch period, plastic packaging melting into the food, and one student even experiencing burns from the packaging that required medical attention. This, of course, has the greatest impact on the more than 150,000 tamariki living in severe poverty who relied on programs like the Kaora Kaako program to receive their daily meal. In response, the Child Poverty Action Group has made a call to senior government ministers and Finance Minister Nicola Willis to restore funding that was cut from the school lunches program so that schools across the motu could receive meals from local community suppliers. I spoke to Rich Greisman, Deputy Chair of the Child Poverty Action Group, to discuss the group's call and why it's important for the government to ensure the provision of healthy school lunches to tamariki.
CPAG's a charitable organization, and so by statute, we're prohibited from being partisan. We support policies and programs irrespective of political party, that we believe will keep New Zealand on track in its efforts to reduce childhood poverty and foster success in our children. That's real important because I'm going to talk to policy and effectiveness in terms of childhood poverty reduction, but not sound political because we're not partisan. We just want to have any government do what we believe it has to do with regard to childhood poverty.
To begin, can you please tell us about the Child Poverty Action Group's calls to the government and the letter to Finance Minister Nicola Willis?
Okay, so here's some background. The Childhood Poverty Act of 2018 requires that all governments, irrespective of flavor, all governments must make concerted efforts to reduce childhood poverty. The 2018 legislation aims to help achieve a significant and sustained reduction in childhood poverty and improve the well-being of children and young people in New Zealand. The vote in Parliament garnered near unanimous support. So our focus now is on child hunger. So the issue now is that in October of last year, with a new coalition government in power, Associate Minister of Education David Seymour announced a new model for the school lunches program, where external lunches would be provided by the Lunch School Collective. The effective cut to the budget of the previous program, the former Healthy School Lunch Program, was about a third, with student funding dropping from $8 a meal to $3. The issue has been, now that we're a large chunk of the way through first term, this new model has been a disaster for children. But David Seymour says it's working, and Kiwis know that's just not the case. CPAG recently sent a letter to ministers, and the letter was to all the ministers who are responsible for and impacted by any school lunch program. And we implored them to step forward and propose a budget bid. The proposed budget bid, we suggested, would restore the previous funding of the school lunch program immediately in the 2025 budget. So we revert to the previous school model. We estimate that the cost of restoring school lunches in the 2024 model would be about $107 to $115 million a year. CPED believes that this bid to restore the former Healthy School Lunch Program is widely supported by students, parents, and principals across the country. The New Zealand Principals Federation made a similar call. A recent Talbot poll showed 60% of voters wanted the government to reinstate the previous Kaora Kaako system. The evidence is irrefutable. Hungry students are far less effective learners. Persistently hungry school learners fall grade levels behind their cohorts. Last month, Stats NZ reported that 1 in 7 New Zealand children now live in material hardship, where their families can't afford the basics like food. A November 2023 NZ Health survey found over 1 in 4, 27% of households, had food run out often in their household. The CPAC wants any government to show a measure of accountability for its initiatives that reduce childhood poverty. And when those initiatives aren't working and likely can't work, they have to step back and say, what should we do?
Right. What are some of the long-term impacts to children's well-being and academic performance that we would be able to see as a result of the current state of school lunches at the moment?
Well, there have been any number of studies, and studies repeatedly show that over time, students who are persistently hungry in school fall grade levels behind, as much as 4 grade levels behind by the time they get to high school. So it's a pretty serious problem. It's an existential problem because we're spending a lot of money on education. I'll leave aside whether we're spending enough. Let's just say we're spending a lot of money in education as a country, and we don't want to waste those dollars. But if students aren't prepared to learn because they're so hungry, all they can focus on is their grumbling stomachs, then we're wasting a whole lot of money because the students aren't ready to learn because they're too hungry. So we want to address the problem about effective schools. We applaud Minister Seymour for wanting to improve New Zealand's record on educational achievement. But you can't improve the educational achievement of students if they're hungry and therefore they're not learning well. And if they're 4 grade levels behind by the time they're in high school, that's a problem we have to address head on. And the new school lunch program is not addressing it because it's leaving students hungry.
Right. And going off what you just said, something that's been brought up frequently in discussions about the school lunch program is the cost to the taxpayer. How would you respond to people who say it's not the taxpayer's responsibility to provide school lunches for children and that the onus is solely on the parents of those children?
Minister Seymour makes, a sincere but perfect world argument. Let me say what I mean by a perfect world. He makes just the argument you just made. And in a perfect world, who wouldn't agree with that? The problem is we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world where a substantial number of Kiwi families who are working full-time, these are not families that are just sitting around on their couches. A substantial number of New Zealand families who work full-time do not have enough disposable income to provide the kind of food that in a perfect world they would want to. Let me give you a clear example. Study after study, not just by agencies, organizations like mine, but by NZ, Stats, and other nonpartisan organizations, have shown that renters in general spend as much as 40% of their disposable income on rent alone. The poorest of Kiwis spend 40 to 70% of their disposable income on rent alone. So if you think about someone's a family's disposable outcome and 70% of their disposable outcome has gone to housing alone, what's left for everything else? So in a perfect world where, as David Seymour puts it, we treat everyone equitably, and everyone's making a living wage where there's money beyond housing to pay for everything, he's absolutely right. But we don't live in that world. We want to ground government policy in what's actually happening in New Zealand today. And New Zealand today, 27% of all students go hungry, not because their parents don't want to feed them. That's a horrific message to send to fellow New Zealanders. They can't feed them because they don't have the money. And so the question becomes, do we want to think of those students as disposable, as throwaway? Do we want to have our educational statistics, which includes those students, show that a sizable number of students aren't learning? Or do we want to solve the problem immediately by making sure they're fed, and then long-term, address the issue of longer-term, address the issue of income levels and healthy households in terms of disposable income? The immediate problem is we have a sizable number, 27% of our students, who go to school hungry. And the research shows that they don't learn as well as their cohorts. And so the argue of equity clearly makes the moral and material case that we have to address that if we want schools to succeed, because our students are succeeding.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.